ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 18 व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न्ड इन द वूम जन्मद्या सद इमे भावा दृष्टा देहस्य मात्मना फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वर मूर्तिना जामद्या सरिमे बाभा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्य सदिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्मद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहात्मनात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना मातजीस् जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य मात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्माद्या सरिमे भावा दृष्टदेहस्य नात्मनः फलनम् इव वृक्षस्य करणेश्वरमूर्तिना जन्म आद्या बिगिनिंग विथ बर्थ सत् द सिक्स बर्थ एक्जिस्टेंस ग्रोथ ट्रांसफॉर्मेशन ड्विंडलिंग एंड एट लास्ट डेथ इमे All these, bhava, different conditions of the body, drishta, seen. Dehasya, of the body. Na, not. Atmanaha, of the soul. Phalanam, of the fruits. Iva, like. Vrikshasya, of a tree. Kalina, in due course of time. Ishwaramurtina, whose form is the ability to transform or control the bodily activities. Translation. Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death, the material body which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a very important verse in understanding the difference between the spirit soul and the material body. The soul is eternal, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:20, na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuya ajo nityo shashvato yam purano na hanyate anyamane sarire. For the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been, does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. The spirit soul is eternal, being freed from waste and change, which take place because of the material body. The example of a tree and its fruits and flowers is very simple and clear. A tree stands for many, many years, but with the seasonal changes, its fruits and flowers undergo six transformations. The foolish theory of modern chemists that life can be produced by chemical interactions cannot be accepted as truth. The birth of a human being's material body takes place due to a mixture of the ovum and semen, but the history of birth is that although the ovum and semen mix together after sex, there is not always pregnancy. But when the soul takes shelter of the mixture, the body takes birth. Unless the soul enters the mixture, there is no possibility of pregnancy. But when the soul takes shelter of the mixture, the body takes birth, exists, grows, transforms, and dwindles, and ultimately it is vanquished. The fruits and flowers of a tree seasonally come and go, but the tree continues to stand. Similarly, the transmigrating soul accepts various bodies which undergo six transformations, but the soul remains permanently the same. Ajo nitya shashvato yam purano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The soul is eternal and ever existing, but the bodies accepted by the soul are changing. There are two kinds of soul, the spirit soul, the personality of Godhead, There are two kinds of soul, the supreme soul, the personality of Godhead, and the individual soul, the living entity. As various bodily changes take place in the individual soul, different millenniums of creation take place in the supreme soul. In this regard, Madhvacharya says, Sadvikara sarirasya na vishnos tadgatasya cha tad adhinam sariram cha yatva tan mamatam chajet. Since the body is the external feature of the soul is not dependent on the body. Rather, the body is dependent on the soul. One who understands this truth should not be very much anxious about the maintenance. Excuse me. Did I just skip a page? One who understands this truth should not be very much anxious about the maintenance of his body. There is no possibility of maintaining the body permanently or eternally. antabhanta ime deha nityasyokta sarinina. This is the statement of Bhagavad Gita 2.18. The material body is antavanta, antavat, perishable. But the soul within the body is eternal, nityasyokta sarinina. Lord Vishnu and the individual souls, or part and parcel of him, are both eternal. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Lord Vishnu is the chief living being, whereas the individual living entities are parts of Lord Vishnu. All the various grades of bodies, from the gigantic universal body to the small body of an ant, are perishable. But the supersoul and the soul, being equal in quality, both exist eternally. This is further explained in the next verses. Janmadya sarime bhava drishva dehasya natmana palanam iva vrikshasya kalineshwara murtina. Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and death, the material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Chananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the science of the soul is given. Karmanam dharvane chayna janto deho upapataye. Striya pravishta udaram punsa reta kanashraya. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is given that the living entity enters into the womb of a woman at the time of conception. Sometimes even religious groups say, they've told us, that the soul doesn't enter into the womb until the end of the first trimester or the fourth month. Of course, the living entity is undergoing the six changes. It's growing, it's existing, it's growing, it's creating offspring, it's dwindling and dying. It is going through one of the six transformations. That means, as described here by Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada is always describing, that the soul is present. They're thinking, and therefore they don't mind abortion, the most abominable activity, helpless fetus within the womb, and they're killing after it's already, the soul has entered at the time of conception, and the living entity, the fetus, is growing. Even in our Vedic culture, women, you can be especially happy, men also very happy, that we're not the American age. We're 10 months older. By Vedic conception, you are born at the time of conception. You are, your birth starts, your age starts at the time of conception. So all of us are a year older than we thought. You tell everyone, I'm 42 years old. You're 43 years old. Don't kid yourself, according to the Vedic explanation. So this is such nice philosophy, Vedic culture. Unfortunately, people have their own misconceptions, how they misconstrue that the soul enters after the first trimester. I can't even imagine. What is the soul like hovering around the woman and somehow mystically, magically enters into the womb at the fourth month, the beginning of the fourth? How is it possible? What is the science? Where's the proof? But there is proof that the soul enters into the form at the time of conception. And that is the Vedic version. Vedic version gives us that there's difference between the soul and the body. Nowhere else is there this science of the soul. This is perhaps the first time in the history of Western culture. Srila Prabhupada even said, yeah, can you please throw that out on Venice Boulevard? Third time now. No, please stay. The soul must stay. The phone must go out. No, it's all right. I'm kidding. That's our good friend. The science of the soul. What other philosophy we grew up in, most of us, except for you fortunate souls who were born in India or born of Indian parents, we grew up mostly in Judaic Christian belief. The Christians don't even believe that animals have a soul. You can kill the animal because there's no soul. And the Jewish take it one step further. They don't believe anyone who isn't a Jew has a soul. I'm telling you, my rabbi, my mother, they told me when I was very young, you know, you're making friends with Chris and Mary and Roger, but be very careful. I was like, how come? We're the only Jewish people in this whole school. That there's no one else to be friends with. Well, you make Jewish friends later because these kids, you know, they don't have a soul. I couldn't even understand. Mary was such a nice girl. How could she not have a soul? I was in love with her. 5 years old. But they said, well, she doesn't have a soul. Be very careful. Christopher was my best friend, Chris. And he praised Jesus constantly. I thought, it's nice. No, he doesn't have a soul. Can you imagine the philosophy? We don't mean to belittle our Jewish and Christian friends. But the philosophy doesn't make any sense, even to a five-year-old. But Prahlad here, five-year-old boy, teaching his friends the science of the soul. So we're very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada actually said in 1977, historians will note this time, this period, as how the world was changed. And that change, Prabhupada went on to describe, was in Vedic culture. For the first time in the history of Western civilization, Vedic culture, such a beautiful culture, beginning with, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. Beginning with, I am a soul, and expanding to such beautiful culture, Vaishnav culture in particular, Srila Prabhupada was talking about. Previously, even the saints, so-called, or sannyasis that had come from India, they were compromising the Vedic culture. Only Srila Prabhupada, as our books say, brought Bhagavad Gita as it is. Only Srila Prabhupada was wearing the dhoti and the kurta and the shaved head and wanted to present that to the Western people, the entire culture. Saris, such beautiful saris for ladies. The ornate and beautiful deity worship. Pictures from the spiritual sky. Cooking, not just macaroni and cheese, as we had grown up on, our only vegetarian. My parents would ask me, even I was at Cedar Sinai last year, I said, I have to have a vegetarian diet. They said, well, we can give you corn and peas. My mother asked me, you're becoming vegetarian. What do you eat, carrots and peas? And lettuce? They have no understanding. Samosa, pakora, kachori, kofta balls. They don't know what means a kofta ball. It's our business to bring them kofta balls. Even next day, kofta balls. This is Vedic culture. Beautiful art, beautiful deity worship, beautiful clothing, comfortable clothing. Some time ago, I was sprinting in a park. Gentleman came up to me. I was wearing a kurta. He said, what is that shirt you're wearing? I said, oh, they call it kurta. He said, where can I get one of those? I said, oh, 3765 Watseka, Govinda's Gifts. He said, that looks really comfortable, man. I said, oh, yeah, it is very comfortable. Nothing more comfortable than dhoti and kurta. Nothing more comfortable than sari and more beautiful and ornate. Make a woman very beautiful to wear a sari. So nice, Vedic culture. Beautiful clothing, beautiful, wonderful food, wonderful literature, amazing music. The entire culture, Vedic culture. Prabhupada said, by cultural conquest, people will understand. And this is the first time. We're very fortunate. It's history. You are involved in history. 500 years from now, they'll say, oh yeah, there was such and such and so, Suvas Prabhu, and this one and that, Archita, Drudakarma. They were the ones that came under the tutelage, disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And they established in the West, for the first time in the history of mankind, Vedic culture, Krishna consciousness, Vedic conception. So our business is not some fraternal or sorority organization or some place to stay just for a weekend or 6 months until my college scholarship kicks in. This is a lifetime commitment of making history for mankind. Sometimes the parents, they like to brag, oh, my son is a doctor, my son is a lawyer, my son is an Indian chief, my son is a such and such. But your parents, our parents, are so fortunate that their children are making history. Their children are the first proponents and the first preachers in the West of the Krishna consciousness movement. And they spent their life and soul to bring the culture of Krishna, to bring the culture of Krishna consciousness, Krishna prasadam, Krishna books that will last for so many years, and influence so many persons as they are influencing today. In the future, they will influence even more. Krishna deity worship, Krishna art, Krishna music, chanting. Last night we went to a church in Brentwood for the Interfaith Festival of Lights. And don't ask me why. They asked the temple bhajan chanters to chant from 5 to 6:30. And everyone else, all the other groups, got 5 minutes. And we brought them some nice nut loaf and macaroni that I put together. The macaroni and the nut loaf, they love it. They love that special prep that we put together. They ate lots of macaroni and nut loaf and devoured it. I think 5 gallons. And were there for the chanting. Some of the other musicians were a little bit giving us the look. How come you're chanting for an hour and a half? You're singing and my songs are only 4 minutes. My song only 4 minutes. I didn't arrange it. Of course, if I would have arranged it, we would have chanted for 2 hours. And nobody would have sang anything or said anything. But to be interfaith and to be very work together with everyone, we just chanted for an hour and a half. They asked us. The head of the organization asked us, chant while the people are eating your food. You brought the food, even one lady told me. They did an interview on Friday. Lady wants to donate a kidney from the Quaker organization in the Interfaith Society. They said, why do you feel so happy to give this to the Hare Krishna? What's your connection? She said, well, Sura always brings food, prasadam, to all of our events. And they chant, they're so giving, I wanted to give back. She said that. And they said, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I thought, if I ever need a heart, I have to keep giving. You need a heart, you need a kidney, come with us, bring prasadam, bring kirtan, we can get you whatever you need. Piece of a liver. We have a big community we've been harvesting for about 12 years. 14 years, interfaith community. They love to reciprocate. So, we're so fortunate. Vedic culture is there, therefore we have to be very careful not to water down. As Prabhupada had said, not to amend, adulter, or addition. To give Krishna consciousness as it is. Give Srila Prabhupada's books. Give Srila Prabhupada's prasadam. Give the chanting Hare Krishna mantra and Vedic mantras, Vaishnava mantras, without addition, without amendment, without adulteration. This is our business. Sometimes people criticize, oh, the New Dwarka, that's an old school. They do all the old school. All the old, as it was when Srila Prabhupada was personally here, that is actually, you should know, following no addition, no amendment, no adulteration, Krishna consciousness as it is, Bhagavad Gita as it is. We don't water down, because we've seen when you water down our philosophy, you attract watered down people. And they only come to the stage of watered down Krishna consciousness. We've seen over and over. But as we are doing here, as the temple president has arranged here, you give Krishna consciousness serious and sincere without changing, without watering down, then you attract pure devotees. Then you can make a pure Vaishnav and someone who follows strictly and sincerely. So this is our business. Vedic culture is so nice. And we have this great opportunity for the first time in the history of the world, in Europe and in South America, North America, everywhere outside of India, Srila Prabhupada in his short time established Krishna consciousness, Vedic culture, as it is. He didn't give in even to the eating style or the clothing style of the West. And it is our business to spread this beautiful culture, especially now we have great opportunity, giving out so many books, so much kirtan, so much prasadam. Establish this historical movement. Be part of the great history of mankind, that historians will note how the world was changed, and you all, we all were a great part of it. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. There's no questions. Prabhupada never asked questions on Sunday.